mind, and we're just going to see what the Lord said. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 17. Amen. Last book of the Bible, church. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 17. Let's read it together. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat in the house of the Lord. I want to talk on a topic that will go along with the text today. Don't let the mirror fool you. Amen. Don't let the mirror fool you. Father God, we thank you, Lord. As we come in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we ask you, O God, to open up our minds, God, that we may understand. Send wisdom and knowledge, God. Send your word, Father. We pray, God, that as we would decrease, you would increase. That it's all about you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. And we all say, amen. Don't let the mirror fool you. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, came here over 2,000 years, came here to go through whatever it was going to take to redeem us back to the Father. Jesus Christ came here, and when he came here, he looked for a particular woman that was going to be able to bear him. He chose Mary. After choosing Mary, the Bible says that he was conceived. And after Jesus Christ came, he had owned his ministry for over 33 and a half years. The Bible said that he died, went to the cross. And there on the cross, he was paying the price for redemption. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, we have to understand is that he had already been whipped, beat, punched in the face. They had smirched his body. Isaiah 53 said that the formness of his body had been changed, that we would not even know who he was. And that Jesus Christ, after all that he went through, they took a cross and placed it on his back. Can you imagine that, how hot it was on the way up to Golgotha? And that the wood was hot from laying out there in the heat. Took his body that was bruised, that was split open, that you can see his tissue and the blood in it oozing out. Took the cross, the heat from the cross and the cuts and the slashes on his body come together and touch and causing his body to have burns on it from the cross. God help me, somebody. Then they told him to carry the cross. And so as he's walking up the hill to get to Golgotha, I want you to understand something, that while he was walking up the hill of Skull, the embarrassing humiliation of folk that spat on him, those that looked at him and said, "You save others, how come you can't save yourself?" And the entire time that he's going up to Golgotha, the entire time that he's walking up the skull, the mountain, he's thinking about redemption. And he goes up there, and in his mind, he says, the devil's going to make one mistake. He said, see, it's all right for me to go up here. It's all right for me to do what I'm going to do. He said, but if you lift me up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. And so they make the mistake and they lift him up and they hang him on the cross. Prior to hanging him on the cross in the air, they nailed his hands together. After nailing his hands together, Anybody ever fall? When you fall, you slide. It hurts just to get a little burn. But with Christ, they nails in his hands and nails them together to the wood. Now watch this. He's already sore. And whenever you get a wound, whenever you get hit, you want to grab it and hold it to give comfort. But with Christ, they stretched him wide. Nobody was able to give him comfort. He didn't take anything so that he can have. He didn't have Tylenol 3. He didn't have Novocaine. He didn't have Toradol shot. He didn't have none of that. He took the pain because he was thinking about redemption. God help me, somebody. And so what happened when they stretched him wide? There his feet was with nails in it. Blood came running down. And there he was on the cross, and there were people walking around wagging their heads, talking about my God and your God. And then sooner or later, at the end, close to the end of the day, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to understand something here, is that he felt lonely, and the presence of God had to step to the side. And the reason why the presence of God had to step to the side is because God had been with his son all his entire life. When he was in heaven before you and I was there, thought of he was together. When he came down here over 2,000 years ago, when he was placing a woman, God was there. When he came out of the woman, God was with him. When Christ was here, he even told us, he said, I am the Father and one. If you and me, I am in you. He said that all of us are mingled up with God. But on the cross was the only time that I can identify that Christ felt that he was without his Father. And the reason why that he felt that he was without his Father is because understand that Christ was going to die. God cannot die. God help me, somebody. He had to step to the side, because the reason why he stepped to the side is because he knew that you and I needed redemption. And so what happened here now is that when Christ hung on the cross, the Bible said he looked up to Father and said, it's done. It's finished, Lord. The Bible said he died. But then 3 days later, he rose again. Oh, God, come on. And so when he got up 3 days later, he said, now I'll set the record straight. He said, now there's no reason for none of you to go to hell. He said, there's no reason for none of us that are in here today not to be saved. And what happens here is that he says now is that you and I are the children of God. When I begin to think about this thing here, when I look at the text, the Bible tells me in Revelation is that John was one of God's followers, and there John was on the island of Patmos. And I want you to understand something, is that John had God on the inside. John wouldn't shut up talking about Jesus. Have you ever met some Jesus talkers? Come on, don't fool me. Every time you talk to them, all they doing is talking about Jesus. You call them and talk about something else, Jesus is going to come up in their conversation. And what happened is that John was a Jesus talker. And they wanted to shut John up. And they went, they took John and put him in some oil, tried to set it on fire. John came crawling out of there. John wouldn't even die. John was a Jesus talker. They said, John, you don't shut up. John said, I can't shut up. It's in me.
It's inside of me to talk about Jesus because he's been so good to me. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what he done for me to make me always talk about it. I'm a Jesus talker. Oh, I wish I had more folk in the church that would be a Jesus talker instead of wait till you get to regular to talk about Jesus, and some still don't. But I wish I had some folk that was a Jesus talker when you left church, when you went home, when you went and got on the telephone. I wish I had some Jesus talkers. And so here, John was filled with the very presence of God inside of him. And God comes in while he was on the island of Patmos. And the Bible said, in the spirit on the Lord's day, that God allowed him to see a revelation. The Bible said that he heard a voice. And the Bible said that the voice was one of many waters. While he was listening to the voice, the Bible says to him that I want you to go and talk to the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And watch this. He says, one of the churches that I want you to talk to is Laodicea. Some say Laodicea, but the O is silent, Laodicea. And when he says this in verse 15, if you don't mind me going back, he says that I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Watch this. And God says, I know everything that you're doing. I see everything you are doing. Oh, God, help me, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, there ain't no secrets with God. And see, that's important, because what happens is that all of us think that is all right. We'll be so comfortable with life. We can do whatever we want to do, say whatever we want to say, and think that we're going to get away with it. But when I look at the saint, he said, I know thy works, yet thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, but I would thou were cold or hot. God said, I wish that you was just one way. He said, I wish you would just either be saved or don't be saved. Because what happened in the church is that we're straddling the fence. Everybody in here ain't saved. Folk don't want to hear that. Folk don't want to hear, but everybody in here ain't saved. And everybody in here that ain't saved, you are not going to go to heaven. Help me, somebody. Folk don't want to talk about that. But watch this in the text. The Bible says here that there were folk that are lukewarm. And God says that if you're lukewarm, you make him want to spew you out. And the reason why he wants to spew you out is because you are fake. God, help me, somebody. False. You're trying to act like you are a child of God, but you really not. You're looking in a mirror and trying to fool everybody. Baby, God, help me, somebody. Don't let the mirror fool you. Watch this. Look at the text. He said, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. 17 verse 8. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And watch this thing. God says that the folk that are walking around here saying that they have no need of nothing, so you're comfortable with life. Other words here, that you're walking around here and you come into church and you're saying that you're holy and you appear really to be holy. God, help me, somebody. And you say that you are in no need of nothing. And therefore, you're too sedated to wave your hand. God, help me, somebody. Not only are you too sedated to wave your hand, but you have the audacity, watch this, to close your eyes when the word of God has been preached. See, some folk don't really want to move unless it does not apply to them. God, help me. Long as we're preaching something that apply to somebody else, you'll say amen. But when it hits you, you try to roll your eyes. God's word is for everybody. message. Why? Folk working right here. Somebody, I got a good job. I got some money in my pocket. I'm all right. I don't need nothing. It don't take all that in the church. It takes more than that in the church. Folk acting around like there ain't nothing going on. I got out of this, so I'm all right now. And you don't want to shed no tears. You don't want to get up. You don't want to give no praises. You don't want to even worship with nobody. When they say get up and shake your neighbor's hand, I understand that, but you act like you all that. You can't hug nobody. You can't shake nobody's hand, baby. Don't let the mirror fool you. Don't let the mirror fool you. Don't let it fool you. Watch this. He said that you think that you're all right. He says here, he said, because I said that I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing. Some folk don't even pray that much. You don't pray. You don't pray like you really should. See, when you're in trouble, you pray all the time. God, help me. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, prune my mind. Purge me. Clean me out. Wash me, God. In Jesus' name. I need a breakthrough, Lord. I need a deliverance. But when everything is all right, say, Lord, watch over me tonight and make me get up in the morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything's all right. Some of you say, lay me down to sleep. All this. Sometimes you don't even get on your knees. You get in the bed. And sometimes you just lay in the bed. You're trying to quote the fourth number of song that I will lay down in my bed and sleep. Come on, baby. You need to get on your knees and show some submissiveness to God. You got to thank God that you're in your help, in your strength, because there are some people that can't get out of their bed. Those are the ones that are laying in their beds. You need to get up, get on your knees, and tell God thank you. But you say, I have no need of nothing. Watch this. Before I go further, I want you to understand some things here. That we as children of God, that God is watching everything that we're doing. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. I want to go somewhere here, verse 9. And I want you to understand something that the whole church fitted together. That when Jesus Christ had got up on the third day, the Bible says also that he met them in Galilee, but then he disappeared on them in the cloud. The Bible said he went and he now is on the right side of the Father. But then Jesus Christ not only is on the right side of the Father, but what I want you to understand is that while they were still glazing, he said, why you stand there glazing? The same way he left is the same way he's coming back. It lets us know that Christ is coming back for the church. God, help me, somebody. And so that because he is coming back, I want you to understand something. That he's coming back for the church. That's right. He's not coming back for the ones that say, I got it going on and I don't need nothing else. He's coming back for the one that have repented. He's coming back for the one that calls him Lord of Lord, Kings of King, God of God. He's coming back for the one that has been washed in the blood. Now watch this. He is coming back. So what he wants you to know now, when we look at 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, look at verse 9. Let's read it together. For we are laborers with you are. You are, stop right there. Understand this thing here, is that we are laborers together. Your mission is not better than my mission. We are laborers together. Watch this. Now, while we are God's example while we are here. Not only are we only God's example while we are here, he said that we are the building of Christ. Now, watch this. That the building of Christ is where Christ dwells. Now you have your own physical body. And then there is the building of God and the children of God, which makes up the whole body of Christ. Now watch this. The Bible wants us to understand something, that if we are the building of the Lord, look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder. And I want you to understand that Paul here now is saying that I'm a master builder. But Paul here, when he talks about he's a master builder, he wants us to understand the foundation that he has begun to build upon. Watch this. He said, I have laid the foundation.
as he have started the church of Corinth, he says, now come other preachers, come other prophets, and come other children of God that is made up of the body of Christ. He said, listen, it's not about you. No, it's not about me. It's all about God. We are one body in Christ. Ministry should never come and fight against one another. God, help me, somebody. People in God's house should not be judging one another. We are the body of Christ. Now watch this. Whenever the finger hurts, baby, the whole body feels it. Whenever the elbow hurts, the whole body feels it. It'll shut you down. But in God's house, what we have learned to do, we have learned to ignore when somebody's hurting. We have learned to ignore when a ministry is down. We have learned to ignore when somebody needs help. And we have all become about ourselves. Ministries have come about themselves. Preachers have made it all about themselves. The church has made it all about themselves. Can I tell you something? You ain't the only one trying to make it to heaven. I'm trying to make it to heaven too. Every now and then when you're praying for yourself, if you don't mind, can you pray for me? While you're trying to uplift your ministry, every now and then can you help somebody else's ministry? It's time for the church to get together and stand together. One church house is not better than another church house, because every time there's a lying or scandalizing on one church member, it scandalizes the whole church. And the devil's got it in your mind that it's all right to talk about it. Watch this, watch this. He said that he laid down the foundation. He said another build it thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. Now watch this. He says here is that how that foundation is laid, that Christ is the foundation. He said, now one come and builds on the foundation. Now, can I tell you something? You got to take heed how you building on the foundation of Christ. If you are the body of Christ, you're going to have to get in your right position and start doing things for God and not for people. God, help me, somebody. You can't be a part of the body of Christ so another part of the body can see you. Just whatever you're doing, just make sure you're doing it for the Lord, because it is God who is coming back. You are not going to be here forever. Too many folks think I'm going to live forever. Can I tell you something? You're not promised for tonight. You're not promised for tomorrow. The Lord can come at any time. Can I get a witness on this thing? You can be up today and down tomorrow. You can be on the highest pinnacle of the mountain and in the lowest ditch in the valley on the next hour. But I got news for you. You're going to have to learn how to walk with the Lord while you can. Talk with the Lord while you can. Hold on to God's unchanging hand while you can. He said, for other foundations can no man lay them that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says, watch this. He said that if any man come and try to lay another foundation, he said, you can't lay it. Listen, can I tell you something? Everything that I preach have been preached millions of times before. Too many folk here saying, I want to hear something different. No, what you need to do is hear that he died and that he got up again. Help me, somebody. It's all right to talk about prosperity, and I don't mind talking about prosperity. I believe in prosperity. But one thing I do know is that when you're wrong, and God's going to deal with you. Help me, somebody. Folk in the church want to hear good things, but they don't want to hear the things of chastising, the things that God would chase you, the things that God would rebuke you. Folk don't want to hear about it. Watch this. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stable. Verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifested. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, watch this. Now, what I mean by this is that God knows everything you're doing. When you come to church and you try to act like you're doing things for God, can I tell you something? Yeah, it looks good to the mirror, baby. It looks good to the naked eye. But I want you to understand, some of y'all are doing things that are in vain. Help me, somebody. That's why when it came to the point that we were to lay hands and bless the ministries at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, that's why I didn't really want nobody dressing up.
Because I didn't want folk to try to outdress the other ministry. Help me, somebody. Because I wanted folk to realize that we was in this thing together. Because sometimes we can step out to think that our ministry is better. And what that means is that you think that it's all about you. And baby, it's never been about you. God's plan will always be before man's thoughts. Can I get a witness here? What I want you to understand is your work. How important is your servanthood being a part of the body of Christ? Now watch this. Watch this thing here. Watch this. Go back to the text. It said that every man's work shall be manifested. It means here is that if you are fake, God's going to reveal you. God have mercy. If you're real, God's going to reveal you. Watch this. If you shout, God's going to reveal you. If you're doing it just to be seen, God's going to reveal you. If you're singing, God's going to reveal it. If you're singing for him, or if you're singing to be seen, if you're preaching to try to get somebody to holler and shout, baby, I ain't trying to get you to holler and shout. If it ain't in you, it ain't in you. God's got to do something to you. The word just got to do it. Listen, it can't be me. It's got to be the word. The word ought to do this thing. Oh, watch this. He said that you build on a solid foundation. What is your foundation built on? My foundation is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ. God, help me, somebody. Well, what is your foundation? But see, your foundation, when you build on the foundation of Christ, can I tell you something? It don't matter what folk try to do to you. Watch this thing. It don't matter about what folk try to say to you. When you build on the foundation of Christ, don't let the mirror fool you. Yeah, you're looking in the mirror, baby. You see something good from the glare, but God looks on your inside. Help me, somebody. When he comes back, he's not looking at your dress. He's not looking at your shoes. He's looking at your heart. God, help me, somebody. Too many folk that's in the church think that as long as you look good on the outside, baby, you're an impressionator. You're not impressing me. Come on now. You're impressing me, but not impressing God. That's what he says. But many of us, we try to impress God. Let me tell you the real you. Let me tell you the real you. Y'all remember back in those days that you used to dance, you used to do all this kind of stuff, you know, get up in the club, you know. Let me tell you, you get all up in the club. You know, it's real good. You just dance by yourself. You know, dance by yourself. You know, you do that. And you know, back in the days, we just do all this kind of stuff, you know. You ain't got to do this thing. You go, yeah. Then you tell your bell, you say, you know what? I got to get ready. I got to go to regular at 8:30 in the morning. Come on. Some of y'all, something you say, yeah, let me have this last drink. I got to sing in the choir in the morning. I got to sing my song. What happens is that all you've done is just a mirror. God help me. Look at your clock, bro. You're dancing, doing all this kind of stuff. Because we ain't going to get no shot out of you. We ain't going to get no jumping out of you. All we going to do is going to get you to come to church in the morning. Ain't no power going to be in you. Attitude's going to be in your face. You're going to shake people's hand the wrong way. You're going to look at people and roll their eyes. But last night, you were doing it up last night, but early this morning you woke up and you said, wait, you know what? I think I'm going to go to second service. Help me, somebody. Yeah, but Christ looks at your heart. Oh, God, help me, somebody. You up in the mirror, the clock is running. You trying to get to devotion service. You said, it don't mind, I'm going to be late. I got to get my eyeliner together. I got to get my nails. I didn't chip my nails. I got to get my nails fixed. And you're missing the service because you're looking in the mirror and God's looking at the heart. And so watch this. When you're looking in the mirror, he said, you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, boy, I look good now. I'm going to get some eyes. Folk going to look at me from the head to my toes. God, help me, somebody. I'm going to find me a man. I'm going to put it on a little tight. I'm going to show. I'm going to throw it out and I'm going to put on my heels and I'm going to walk it like this. Come on, come on, come on. You got your walk. You got all that in your mind. Looking in a mirror. Dressing up when some folk hated that I say come as you are, because I just messed up your appetite, because what you thought you was going to wear, you're not going to wear. But then guess what? Can I tell you something? When folk get their mind messed up and when they're not in God, they already got something. That's all right. I wear these jeans, baby. I still show something. But can I tell you something? You better stop looking in the mirror and start allowing God to use you as a part of the temple. Can I get a witness here? There are some things that you're going to have to stop doing so that God can use you, because the truth of the matter is that the Lord is on the way back. Can I get a witness here? Watch this, watch this. I want to go back to Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 13. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. God said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come back, and I want you to come, and I want you to try me. He said, because you tried everything, and ain't nothing working. He said that you've already done this, and you've already done that, but try me. He said, I've been where you're trying to go. Help me, somebody. I've been through everything you've been through. I know what it's like to be lonely. I know what it's like to feel pain. I know what it's like to be by yourself. I know what it's like to have people scandalize you. He said, try me. He said, that's what he said, you purchase everything. You done did this, done that. Yeah, baby, all that and a bunch of chips. He said, but try me. He said, because everything that you try still leave you broke. He said, everything that you try still leave you wretched. He said, everything that you try leaves you miserable. He said, not only that, everything you try leaves you blind. God said, not only does it leave you blind, but it leaves you naked. Some of y'all coming to church all dressed up, but you're really naked. Naked to the Lord, because you don't have no righteousness on you. You don't have peace on you. You don't have mercy on you. Some of y'all are naked because you don't have love on you. Some of y'all are naked because you're not clothed with judging right. The reason why you're naked is because you're clothed with the lust of this world. The reason why you're naked is because you're clothed with hatred in your heart.
Watch this. He said, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment. He says here, what I want to do, he says that when you look in the mirror, you're really looking at a poor, miserable person. He said, but what I want to do, he said, if you purchase me, he said, now I want you to understand that I'm going to give you right raiment. He said, I'm going to reclothe you up. He said, you're going to be like Adam. He said, when Adam had sinned, Adam had became naked. He knew he was naked. Adam had to go and sew clothes together and put on figs. But the clothes that he had on still kept him naked. And what God wants us to do is stop dressing around like Adam. And God said, let me reclothe you back up. God, help me, somebody. And so when I look at the text, he says this thing. He said, and that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He says this, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and that thou mayest see. Watch this. He says here, what I need to do is I need to get you to anoint yourself. I need to get you in a position where that you look at yourself in the mirror and see how ugly you really are. God, help me, somebody. He says here, if the church will come together and realize that on the outside you look good, but you're really ugly on the inside. God, help me. And when you're ugly on the inside, it becomes an ugly character that you have with people. God, help me. You don't have agape love. You have filios love. You have family love. And anytime you only have a friend, brotherly love, anytime you have only family love, whenever you get mad at them, you will stop loving them. Help me, somebody. But when you get real authentic love of God, help me, somebody, you will love them in spite of their situation. Can I get a witness here? I wonder if the church will stop looking down on folk that come up in the church house that don't have on the proper clothes, that don't have the clothes you have. Can I get a witness here? I wish the church would stop being a judging howl and be a church lover that loves everybody. I
wish you would stop getting on the phone. Help me, somebody. Talking about everybody and just talk about Jesus. When folk call you and start talking about one of your church members, you ought to get up in the Holy Ghost and look. That's my church member. That's my brother. That's my sister. How in the world that you going to still come to church and see them every day and then talk about them? The moment you leave in church, you got to go somewhere where you can just get God's word. Why come to regular Baptist church and you don't like Pastor Hodge, but Pastor Hodge don't preach? Baby, you need to go somewhere where you can get the word. Because if you can't get the word here, you need to go out the door. Can you got to go somewhere where you can get a deliverance, where you can get a breakthrough, where you can receive God's word? Watch this. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. When I look at the saying here, that John here is talking to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ here is telling John to tell the churches of Asia Minor. He says here, let them know that I don't want him to go to hell. He says here, but let them know that I know their works. If you build on a solid foundation, then your character ought to act like you build on a solid foundation. Now, he said, too many folks here that are foolish in God's house have built their house on sinking ground. Build their house on the sand. He said, but there's somebody in here, I believe, that have built their house on a solid foundation. That means I'm standing on the promises of the Lord. Because when trials come and winds come your way, if you're standing on the foundation of the Lord, when you look in the mirror, you don't see you, but you see the God in you. Can I get folk to only understand that when folk come to church, I don't want nobody to see me. Because if you see me, you're going to see a mess. If you see me, you're going to see a pile of dirt. But if you see the God in me, you're going to see a brother just holding on to God's unchanging hands. When you hear somebody sing, I don't want to hear you. I want to hear the God that's in you. I wish folk, when they ride down the street and see somebody not doing so good, don't see them as they're not doing good, but see them as a person that's got God on the inside. Because one day you're going to realize when folks see you, they're going to see the God in you. But I imagine that all of us in here today, you were just like the man without anything. You were just like the one that folk talked about. But I made it through my trials, and I made it through my tribulations. I made it through the wilderness. Is it anybody in here today that can say, when I looked in the mirror, I thought it was something? I looked good from the head to my feet. When I looked in the mirror, I thought I was swagging, but I found out when I looked in the mirror that I really looked bad. But ever since that hour, ever since the day that I met Jesus, the one who died for me and got up out the grave, I got a new look. When I look in the mirror, I don't look at myself. I see the Lord that's in me. And can I tell the church, there's some folk in the church that's gonna get jealous of you, because God is working on the inside. And can I tell you something, is when the Lord is working things out for you, on the inside. He'll make the outside better. Is there anybody in here that when the Lord get to you, he'll hold on. He tells you he'll fix your problems. When the Lord get to you, he'll tell you he'll handle your trials. Is there anybody here that know you had a bad situation, but the Lord came on the inside. He'll rearrange things. You used to have an attitude, but now you have a good character. You smile at folk. You shake folk hands. Even though your enemies rise up against you, that's the first one you hug. Anyways, you know folk don't like you. That's the first one you shake their hands. Is it anybody mistreat you? That's the first one you hold your head up high and you tell them that you love them. It's the reason why. It's the God that's in me. If it wasn't from God, I wouldn't love you. If it wasn't from the Lord, I wouldn't forgive you. Because you know, like I know, what you done to me, how you hurt my heart, how you mistreat my children. But the Lord got a hold of me. I forgive you, because it's not about you. I'm trying to get to heaven. If I hold it in, I hold myself back from my blessings. I can't hold it in. I found out, let it go. Is there anybody here? Know how to let some things go. Let it go. Let it get behind you. I'm gonna hold on until my change come. What you done in between you and God, but I forgive you, and I know a God who sits high and looks low. Is it anybody here? Thank the Lord for coming on the inside. Is it anybody here ever had your mind shattered by life? You couldn't shake it and you couldn't pray, but thanks be to God, he came in right on time. He grabbed me, he shook it off. He told me, when you can't pray, just think about it. Lord, I don't feel like praying. Lord, I can't shake it. Lord, it's got my heart. Lord, it's got my spirit. He said, think about it. If you think your way out of it, if you think the Lord can do it, if you have a thought, if the Lord get me out of this, after thinking, you'll speak it. After speaking, you'll get up, walk out your situation. Is it anybody here? Have to lay down numb. Is it anybody here? Have to lay down before and you couldn't do nothing but a thought. If I can get out of this mess, if I can get out of my situation, after a while, your mouth will start saying, if, but your mind saying, if I can get out, and your mouth saying, if I, it's hard, but when you think it, you'll open your mouth and speak it. Is there anybody here know how to speak it? Have you ever talked yourself out of something? Tell yourself it's gonna be all right. Tell your children it's gonna be all right. Tell the church it's gonna be all right. Stay out of the mirror. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Is there anybody here? No, it's all.
Oh, about Jesus. When you look in the mirror, you see something that your naked eye thinks is good. But God say, if you look in the mirror and say, I see God working things out. Oh, I wonder if I can get somebody to believe it. Tears out your eyes, but I see the Savior coming down. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Can I tell you, you got to humble yourself? Ain't nobody big and bad up in here but the Lord. God knows how to fix everything. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're going through. I know a God that can fix anything. Whatever it is, I know he can fix it. I got some believers up in here that can say, I know what he can do. You ain't got to tell nobody. You ain't got to tell nobody. Baby, but God know. God knows. See, some of y'all can reflect back in your mind. Golly. Boy, in the days I was a bad motor scooter, but I wasn't up. But when I met Jesus, oh, now I know what it's like to be bad. Because now I got real power. Real anointing. I got a real prayer line. Because I know who Jesus is. Come on, give God some praise. The doors of the church is open. Is there one in here that don't know the Lord and the points of the sin? Looking for a church house.